I want to make an announcement before anybody else leaves the room that His Holiness Srila Hridayananda Das Goswami Maharaj will be arriving in Dallas this evening, and we will be picking him up from the airport at 7:30, and he will be giving the Srimad Bhagavatam class tomorrow morning. Dharashaya Prabhu is making an arrangement for the cut-up to be done some other way. So I request everyone to be here for the Bhagavatam class, because he wanted to come especially to give his association to the devotees. He'll also be giving the Sunday feast lecture tomorrow evening, and morning Bhagavatam class Monday morning, and we will jointly have a darshan together up in my quarters on Monday evening. What's the best time for that? Say about 7 o'clock? Say 7 o'clock. So 4 times we'll get his association, at least, if not Tuesday morning also. So please, everybody, attend, and you can call anyone that you know who's not here. Any friends of our society who would like to come, please inform them, because he doesn't come here very often, and I think it's a great opportunity to hear very advanced Vaishnava speak. Okay, now you can go, if you have to go. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 11, Text Number 37.
Tam ayam manyate loko hi asangam api sanginam atmaupamyena manujam vyaprinavan yato buddha tamayam manyate loko hiya sangam hi apiyasanginam atmopamyena manujam vyaprinvanam yato buddha.
Krishna.
Krishna.
I am.
All these common men.
Manyate.
To speculate within the mind.
Lokaha.
The conditioned souls.
He.
Certainly.
Asangam.
Unattached.
Api.
In spite of.
Sangino.
Affected.
Atma.
Self.
Anupamyena,
by comparison with the self.
Manujam,
ordinary man.
Vyaprinvanam,
being engaged in.
Yata,
because.
Abhudaha,
foolish because of ignorance.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada.
The common materialistic conditioned souls speculate that the Lord is one of them. Out of their ignorance, they think that the Lord is affected by matter, although He is unattached.
Purport.
The word abhutaha is significant here. Due to ignorance only, the foolish mundane wranglers misunderstand the Supreme Lord and spread their foolish imaginations amongst innocent persons by propaganda. The Supreme Lord Sri Krishna is the original primeval personality of Godhead, and when He was personally present before the eyes of everyone, He displayed full-fledged divine potency in every field of activities. As we have already explained in the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, He is completely independent to act however He likes, but all His actions are full of bliss, knowledge, and eternity. Only the foolish mundaners misunderstand him, unaware of his eternal form of knowledge and bliss, which is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita and Upanishads. His different potencies work in a perfect plan of natural sequence and doing everything by the agency of his different potencies. He remains eternally the supreme independent. When he descends on the material world by his causeless mercy to different living beings, he does so by his own potency. He is not subject to any condition of the material modes of nature, and he descends as he is originally. The mental speculators misunderstand him as the Supreme Person, and they consider his impersonal feature as inexplicable Brahman to be all. Such a conception is also the product of conditioned life, because they cannot go beyond their own personal capacity. Therefore, one who considers the Lord on the level of one's limited potency is only a common man. Such a common man cannot be convinced that the personality of Godhead is always unaffected by the modes of material nature. He cannot understand that the sun is always unaffected by infectious matter. The mental speculators compare everything from the standpoint of experimental knowledge of their own selves. Thus, when the Lord is found to act like an ordinary person in a matrimonial bondage, they consider him to be one of them, without considering that the Lord can at once marry 16,000 wives or more. Due to a poor fund of knowledge, they accept one side of the picture while disbelieving the other. This means that due to ignorance, only they always think of Lord Krishna. This means that due to ignorance only, they always think of Lord Krishna as like themselves and make their own conclusions, which are absurd and unauthentic from the version of the Srimad Bhagavatam.
Call him on his car phone and call at his office and keep calling. Leave a message on my behalf. Tell him that he should come back here and see me.
Tamayam manyate loko hi asangam apisanginam atmopam yena manujam vyaparinbanam yato buddhaha. The common materialistic conditioned souls speculate that the Lord is one of them. Out of their ignorance, they think that the Lord is affected by matter, although he is unattached. The difficulty in understanding God is brought out in this verse. First of all, God is very far away, at least it seems to be so. And therefore, how are we to understand him? Especially difficult is the conception of God as a person, because our experience of persons is within this material world. Persons, we know, are imperfect and limited beings. And therefore, when we ascribe personality to the Godhead, it seems that we are also limiting God. However, we are informed that God does not have to be limited if he were to come within this world. Just like in Christianity, the conception of the incarnation, that Jesus is God incarnate. There are different philosophies that sprang up shortly after the ascension of Jesus, and one of them was the Gnostics, who were later on branded as heretics. And they claimed that Jesus never had any type of material body. His body was completely spiritual. But the church fathers did not accept this version. They said, no, he is God and man simultaneously. And he did not have a totally spiritual body, but rather his body was flesh and blood. Now, it turns out that at least in regard to Krishna, our
philosophy agrees with the Gnostics. Of course, the word Gnostic comes from the word gnosis, or to know, which comes from the Sanskrit word jnana. And it's not surprising, therefore, that the Gnostics got their philosophy from the East, from the Vedas. In regard to Krishna, our understanding is that when he comes within this world, he does not come with a flesh and blood body. Ajopi shanaviyatma bhutana mishradopisham prakritim svamadistaya sambhavami atmamaya. This word atmamaya means that he comes with his own spiritual nature. And his body is described sat chit ananda vigraha. It is a body made of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. In the Sri Isha Upanishad, it is mentioned that his body is without any blood in it, veinless. It has no veins. And the activities which Krishna performs, as they are mentioned in the scriptures, also defy the possibility that he was human. For example, it is said that he married 16,108 queens, and simultaneously was able to be present with each and every one of them. Now, certainly no human being can accomplish such an act, but for God, nothing is impossible. So, the difficulty is explained in another verse of Bhagavad Gita. Avajananti man mudha manushintanamashitam param bhavam ajananto mama bhuta maheshwaram. Fools and rascals, Krishna says, decry me when I descend in my human-like form. They do not know my position, my supreme dominion over all that be. Foolish persons, why are they foolish? Naman duskritina mudha prapadyante naradama maya pritaganam ashuram bhavam ashutaha. Four types of persons are called foolish. They are the lowest of humans, naradama, mudhas, foolish rascals, maya pritaganis, persons whose intelligence is stolen by illusion, and ashuram bhavam ashutaha, persons who have taken shelter of the demonic nature, the demons, atheists, in other words. These persons cannot understand the existence of God because of impiety, duskritina. They're impious. So piety is, you know, sometimes we hear that certain things are genetic, inherited genetically. Well, in a sense, here's an inherited trait, piety. Not so much inherited only from one's parents, but from one's own past birth. The past is seen, imprinted on the present. One's past activities, pious or impious, will affect one's present existence. That is why some persons find it very, very easy to worship God and others cannot. In the seventh chapter at the end, Bhagavad Gita, we find a verse which describes that until one's past sinful activities are ended, one cannot engage with determination in devotional service. So people who are too sinful will not be able to appreciate the existence of God. As far as appreciating God as a person, this requires some education. We have to explain away the idea that he's an ordinary person by proving that he is an extraordinary person. For example, this picture shows Krishna lifting a mountain, Govardhan. That is extraordinary. This demonstrates not ordinary human strength. Extraordinary strength. And wisdom. Someone who can speak something like Bhagavad Gita. Very wise. These are extraordinary abilities. Beauty, Madana Mohan, the bewilderer of Cupid, that Cupid himself became bewildered upon seeing the beauty of Krishna.
And bit by bit, point by point, we have to try to see how it is that Krishna is extraordinary. Ultimately, one can point to Krishna's ability to create. God is the supreme creator. He creates the universes. God is omniscient. He knows what is in the heart of every living being. God is all famous. There's no one that does not know of God, at least has heard of God. Even if they deny him, they know about God. He has every excellent quality to the maximum degree. So all of these do not at the same time say that he cannot be a person. It is not logical to say that because someone is all-knowing, he can't be a person. Because someone is all-powerful, he can't be a person. That someone is the creator, he can't be a person. These do not necessarily contradict this point. Why don't you stay, Renuka? I'm not bothered by your daughter.
She wants to go home.
Well, why don't you tell her you want to stay here?
Day has come when children are in control of the world. There was a time when it wasn't like that. Children said, I want to do this, and the parents said, no, you're going to do this. And then the children learned that they were not the center of the universe. In China, they have a whole population. They call them little emperors. It used to be in China that there were many children in a family. And so no one was the center of the universe because everyone had brothers and sisters. But now, because of the policy of only one child per family, all of the attention and affection is heaped upon this one child completely. And so they have become little emperors that get whatever they want. There's an interesting book written by one scholar. It's called The Americans and the Chinese. And the thesis of this book is that American society, the individual is at the center. Whereas in Chinese and Asian society, the group is at the center. One is group-centered, the other is individual-centered. And the thesis demonstrates that in each and every aspect of life, American life, it is always the individual who is given most importance. And we ourselves think of like that, that I have to have my rights. For example, a very simple point that makes the point clear. In Chinese society, in traditional Chinese society, not little emperor society as it is today, they would build a house, and the house would have four rooms. And you would go from one room to the next, going through the rooms. So you had to get to the second room by going through the first, to the third room by going through the first and second, by the fourth room by going through the first, second, and third. Now, if there were three or four brothers who would all live with the father and their wives in the same house, where would you say the eldest brother who gets his choice of rooms would live? The furthest room, right? Where you can have the most privacy. Wrong. The eldest brother will take the first room because their life is group-centered, not self-centered. They find more pleasure personally in being in the midst of the group than they do by being private and alone. And the youngest brother will get the end room, which is considered the least desirable. It is exactly the opposite of American mentality. See, we're all sitting there going, wow, can't believe it. I myself can't believe it. This is the difference between traditional Asian society and American society. And it goes on and on and on and on. Anyway, we are somewhere in between that and Krishna consciousness, because this community is somewhere in between privacy and community. Right? It gives a little of each. Probably not enough of one for some people and not enough of the other for others. But it is somewhere in between. You get to have your own place, but it's in the midst of a community and everybody knows exactly what you're doing. They even tell you when not to leave the temple room. So, All of this is to say that in this verse we're discussing how ordinary persons ultimately say that when we describe God, it appears that we are limiting God, and limitation implies material contamination or conditioning. When we say that God has a body, immediately what springs to mind is a material body? What are you talking about? Or when we say God is being held in the arms of his mother, again, very inconceivable. It appears to be material contamination, but actually it is not. Because the point being made here is Krishna is always unaffected or unattached. At every moment he's unaffected or unattached. Just like Krishna was dancing in the Rasa dance with so many gopis. Most extraordinarily beautiful personalities. And yet at a certain point he walked out of the Rasa dance. He walked away in a detached mood. Shiva, who is a great personality also, potency of the one aspect of or expansion of the Godhead, he also was able to withstand the greatest temptations. Because these personalities are not material, they are spiritual. God is always transcendental. The example is given here of the sun. The sun can shine on a very unclean place. If there's urine, for example, in India, animals are passing, you know, urine. Let's say a donkey is passing urine in the street. There's a puddle of urine. After a while, the sun will completely evaporate that urine. The sun takes away the urine, means urine is contaminating. But the sun does not become contaminated by evaporating that urine. Whereas if we touch that urine, we become contaminated. So the sun is beyond our capacity. Similarly, God can come into contact with anything and not become contaminated, but rather purify that thing. So this is the nature of the Supreme Lord when he comes within this world. He does not become contaminated. Rather, the world becomes purified. He leaves behind memories of his wonderful activities. And anyone who comes into his contact at once becomes completely cleansed of all contamination. Now, what happens when the Lord leaves this world? He incarnates for some time and then he leaves. How do we, who are left behind, still become purified? That is explained. He leaves behind his messages like Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. And he extends himself in the form of his name, his holy name, which is none different than the Lord himself. The holy name of the Lord, when vibrated, purifies the heart, even of a conditioned soul. So even when we are using our material tongues, using our material ears, vibrating apparently material sound, no. The effect is liberating, because the holy name is not material in any way. Similarly, when our senses become purified, they also become spiritualized. That means that gradually we should expect that our body, which is being engaged wholly in the service of God, will become transcendental or spiritualized. A pure devotee's body is not material. It's just like to say that Jesus had a material body is not, in fact, 100% true. Because what is the definition of material? Material means the energy which is separated from the Lord. But if Jesus is the Son of God, and if he is the incarnation of God, there's no question of his being separate from God. Everything about him is spiritual. Means he used his energy fully in the service of his Father. Therefore, he's spiritual. In that sense, he's spiritual. Just like an iron put into a fire becomes red hot and takes on all the qualities of the fire, although it's a piece of iron. Similarly, when matter is engaged in the service of spirit, matter becomes spiritualized. It takes on the qualities of spirit, even though it's matter. Therefore, a pure devotee's body, even though it may be made of matter,
Because it's engaged in the service of spirit, the body is spiritual. Just as an iron put in the fire is no longer an ordinary iron, but it's red hot and acts like fire. So we have to learn this art of becoming transcendental, how to spiritualize our lives. Everything has to be touched in the service of Krishna. Then there will be no effect of the material energy. I'll stop here and ask for any questions.
You mentioned about the incident of Krishna leaving the gopis during the Rasa dance. Because Krishna is always self-satisfied, does that mean that he doesn't even require his own pleasure potency?
The pleasure potency of Krishna is not different than Krishna. It is a mistake to think that Srimati Radharani is not Krishna. She is Krishna. She is Krishna's own potency. So it's not correct to say that Krishna is missing something and therefore he expands himself as Radharani. Because Radharani is Krishna. If Krishna needed something outside of Krishna, if God needed something outside himself to be complete, then we could say he's incomplete. But when God desires, or when God experiences pleasure, that pleasure immediately appears before him in the form of Radharani. From himself. He is enjoying himself. So he's complete. Radharani is not. God, one are two, and two are one. Radha and Krishna. They are the Supreme Lord together. Not separate. They're not two individual beings. They're one. But for the sake of pleasure and pastimes, they have expanded themselves as two. And now there's a beautiful verse. And now these two have again become one in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Any other questions? All right, we'll stop here. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Premanandi.